A Century of Service, presented by the State University of Iowa. This year, the State University of Iowa has reached a landmark in the passage of time. On February 25th, the university became 100 years old. During the past 100 years, the university has passed many landmarks in the discovery of truth, the advancement of knowledge, and their wide dissemination among all the people, landmarks which culminate in a century of service. This afternoon, the State University of Iowa presents the seventh in a series of programs in commemoration of its 100th birthday. Today, we invite you to listen to an adaptation of a recently published story entitled The Voice in the Earphones by Wilbur Schramm, director of the School of Journalism.
Well, that's another one all ready to put out. Shall we get going right on schedule?
Man, am I glad. I'm heading home to hit the sack. Tonight's just not what they're cracked up to be. Breakfast I had over there, the greasy spoon is settling on my stomach like a lead balloon.
Oh, you and your stomach. Say, Joe, who's that queer old duck wandering out around there on the ramp? I've seen him around here before.
Which one?
Oh, that guy?
He's quite a character. Comes in here on a flight from KC and goes right back on the next flight. Nobody can quite figure him out.
He looks like a guy right out of a musical comedy with that long black coat and those tight trousers. What's his name?
I don't know. Shorty something, rather. Margie, the Flight 4 stewardess, knows him. She got to talking to him the other day on the run from KC, telling me about it last night. Just for laughs.
Yeah? Well, Margie was always a man, Chase. Hey, look at that old guy pacing around, will you? Sure acts like he's in a powerful hurry.
You know, that's a funny thing, Mac. He always wants to be the first man on the plane, and he goes up and sits in the front seat. I can't figure it out. Margie was telling me he had a boy in the flying game. Seems the kid took his last ride and nearly broke the old man up for final.
Tough, but that's life, I guess. Say, it's about time for Flight 4 to lift, isn't it? Where's the crew?
Eating breakfast over the greasy spoon last time I saw him. Oh, here they come now.
Oh, I guess that's it. I'm heading for the sack.
Me too.
If you're all set, Al, I'll start loading them in.
Okay, Margie, let them on.
All right, one at a time, up the steps, please. Well, Mr. Cruz, first in line as usual. Going back to Kansas City already?
Yes, miss. I'm going back to Kansas City.
Just hop aboard, then, and make room for the others. Glad to have you with us again.
Oh, thank you, miss. Will we go soon?
Right away, Mr. Cruz. You go on up front now and sit down. I'll come up and talk to you after we get upstairs. Now, who's next? All right, Mr. Jordan, Mrs. Spencer, Miss Pritchard, Mr. Anderson. Well, Mr. Cruz, how's the trip?
Oh, just fine, miss. But you do not look so well. Your face, it is white.
Oh, I'll be all right. Just a little sick at my stomach. Maybe I'm air sick. But we'll be in Kansas City in another hour, and then I can go home.
Yes, miss. But you do not look too good.
Nonsense. I'll be all right. I think I'll go up and see how Bob and Al are making out. Quick! In there! Something's happened! Bob and Al, they're out cold! Oh!
Oh, she's fainted. No one else noticed. A doctor. I should get a doctor. Is there... Oh, no, there is no time. The young lady said something was wrong with the pilots. I'd better... What would Bill do? Yes, I will go up there. Maybe something I can do. Oh, are they dead? Right, no, no. Unconscious, what to do? The seat of the pilot, like Bill used to sit in. No one will mind if I sit down. So, just like Bill, so many dials to look at. What are these? Oh, sure, earphones, the radio. And this you talk into. Just like Bill said. Oh, maybe the radio could get help. Well, I could try. Let's see, what would Bill say? Pilot to tower? Well, I will try. Hello there? Hello, Kansas City? Hello?
Hello, old fellow. Been wondering where you were. Oh,
hello.
Anything wrong?
Hello, yes, so glad you answered. Everything is wrong. I'm passenger on this aeroplane. Shorty Frost, my name is. I'm sitting in front seat when young lady comes from up here with face white like spook. She say pilot out call and then falls in seat beside me. She is fainted and no one else in the plane notices.
Yes, old fellow, and then what happened?
So I'm coming up here to see what is wrong. Both young fellows out cold, one on the seat, one on the floor. I don't know what to do. So I sit down in pilot's seat, put earphones on my ears and tried to talk to Kansas City on the radio. With autopilots gone, how does the airplane keep flying?
Are you still flying straight and level?
Oh, straight and level, yes.
The ship's probably on automatic pilot. Look down at the lower left center part of that big panel in front of you. Is the lever pushed down?
Yes.
Well, you're okay for a while then.
My kid Bill ought to be here. He was a flyer.
Yes, I know.
Hello?
Well?
Maybe there is a pilot among the passengers. Should I see?
No, better not. They might get panicky, you know, and then you would have a time. No, better not let them know.
Well, then what shall I do?
If I were you, I'd fly her into Kansas City.
Oh, but I don't know how.
I'll teach you.
You know what?
Put your hands on the stick and your feet on the pedals. Don't be afraid, they won't bite.
Well, all right, but I feel so silly, like a man on the question program on the radio. This isn't a dream, is it?
No, old-timer, it's real enough.
Oh, it is real. I'm flying an aeroplane.
Now, don't be afraid. You're all right.
Oh, I'm glad you're with me.
That's it. Just take it easy. Don't be afraid of that instrument board, either. You won't need most of the things on it. They're luxuries. See if you can find a dial marked ALT. That means altimeter, and tell me what it says.
8.
That means 8,000 feet. Now grab hold of that handle I told you about, the automatic pilot. Got it?
Yes.
Turn it to off.
Take off the automatic pilot?
Sure. You're going to learn to fly this crate, aren't you? Push the stick a little right and press the right pedal a little. Does that bring up the left wing?
Oh, how did you know the wing went down?
Everybody does it the first time. Now let's try a few things. Landing's simple, but you'll have to know how to bank. Let's try a left bank first. Push the stick a little left and a little forward. Push the left pedal a little, just a little.
Oh, yes. I remember. Bill always said the pedals work just the opposite of a crossbar on a bobsled.
That's right. Now hold it in the bank. How's she doing?
Oh, fine. You know, I never before knew exactly what Bill meant when he talked about the thrill of flying. Now I understand. It is something like your first jump on a horse, the first time you make a good turn in your plane.
Now level it off. Press the right pedal a little, stick back to center, pull it back a little to put the nose up. How was it?
A little jerky.
You probably lost some altitude, too. That's because you didn't keep your nose on the horizon.
Oh, my nose?
The plane's nose. Now let's try another left bank.
Oh, yes, sir.
How's it this time? Better?
Oh, yes. It's wonderful. The plane, she answers me so nice.
Sure she does. You know, you just might fool me and come in on the other side of the airport. Let's try a right bank. That's just the opposite. Right pedal, and the stick goes a little right and a little forward. Come on now, let's do it.
All right. That was pretty bad.
Oh, well, it can't have been too bad.
I remember now. Bill said the right bank seemed harder than the left one at first.
That's right. Now let's practice another one.
Oh, what do you suppose the passengers think?
Did you lock the door between the pilot's compartment and the passenger cabin?
Yes, sir.
Good. They can't bother you then. Anyway, what they don't know won't hurt them. They probably haven't even noticed there's anything wrong. Are you flying along the railroad tracks now?
Pretty close.
East or west? Look at your compass. That's at the top of the instrument board.
East.
Good. How are you at glides?
I've never tried one.
Better try two or three. About all there is to landing is a good long glide. Cut the throttle some and pull the stick just a little back. Not too far back. Now, what does the altimeter say now?
7.5. Does that mean 7,500?
Yes. Now look around and find the switch that lowers the wheels. You'll need that. Find it?
Yes.
All right, flip the switch. Now, does the little light above the switch go on?
Yes, it's a little red light.
That's the one. When that light goes on, that means your wheels are down in landing position. Okay, flip the switch and pull your wheels up again. You won't need them until we get to Kansas City.
All right. What else?
Look at the instrument board. See if you can find a switch that's marked flaps. It's near the middle of the board. Find it?
Yes. This must be it. Should I push it down?
No, better not. You might lose too much airspeed and stall out. But you'll need those flaps to land. Otherwise, you'd be going too fast and you'd probably overshoot the field. We can't have that.
No. We can't have that. I saw one other plane overshoot a landing field, and it burned in the swamp. Bill's plane. The passengers are pounding on the door. Should I open it?
I wouldn't. Why take a chance? You can fly this job, Pappy. You don't need help.
They told me I was too old to learn to fly. They even kicked me out of the Kansas City airport.
They won't today.
My, I feel good. I wish I had a 20-cent cigar to smoke. I feel just like sitting back in a comfortable chair with my thumbs hooked in my vest. I wish I had a 50-cent cigar to smoke.
Time for that later, old-timer. Right now, you're flying into Kansas City. Watch that left wing.
Yes, sir. Oh, look. There's another plane way over there.
Which way is he headed?
Southwest.
Probably bound for Albuquerque.
He's flying, too. This is what Bill meant when he talked about that warm feeling of pals in the sky. You don't mind if I keep talking to you, do you?
Not at all.
I don't usually do much talking. I have trouble with English language and my accent. My kid Bill, he was kind of ashamed of me sometimes because I couldn't talk right. But he was a good boy, my Bill. Well, how well did you know Bill?
Pretty well.
Such a good boy was Bill. Such a wonderful boy. Looked just like his mother. His mother died when he was born. Big, tall, and handsome he was. Not like me, like his mother. And how that boy loved to play games. Football, basketball, baseball, he played them all. Went to the University of Kansas, you know. Bill James, he called himself up there. He was famous at Kansas, but he quit before he finished school. And that was when he got his job with the airlines. We didn't get along too well after that. People were talking. I remember once I was at a baseball game in Kansas City. Bill was playing.
Well, we still got a chance. That holds the bases. Who's up next?
Bill James.
Just one hit now, Bill, and we lead the lead. Come on, kid, give it a ride.
He'd better. Boy, two outs, last of the ninth. A regular Frank Merriwell finish.
Listen, Bill could do it if anybody can.
Boy, Frank Waters!
Rocker!
Oh,
Who is this kid anyway? I don't know any James family in this neighborhood.
Oh, well, James is just a boy's middle name. His last name is Fruise, I guess, but he never uses it anymore. His old man is Shorty Fruise, who runs a little fruit stand over on Broadway. You know Shorty, don't you?
Oh, the queer little guy with a foreign accent. Sure, so that's his boy, eh?
Yeah, the old man just idolizes the boy, but I guess the kid's just a little bit ashamed of old Shorty. Never takes him any place he goes anymore. Didn't want Shorty coming up to Lawrence when he was going to the university, either. Kind of funny relationship.
So father and son don't get along very well, eh?
Oh, they get along all right, I guess. The relationship just gets kind of strained at times. Like at that father and son banquet I thought about a few years ago. Shorty was trying to talk to the high school principal, and he got all tongue-tied and twisted up, and young Bill got so embarrassed he finally pulled him out of the hall and took him home. Never been any place together since. You know, it's kind of funny. Old Shorty never misses a chance to see his boy play, but never lets Bill see him and know he's there. Afraid Bill would be embarrassed again, I suppose.
Could be. I sort of feel sorry for the old guy.
Hey, did you see that ball? Hey, look out!